What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
It's Ken Barkley and Chris Ronji on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
It is You Better You Bet on BetQL. Ken Barkley, Chris Ronji, you just heard the big guy say it, and it's true. Nick Kostos is out for the week. And quickly, before we move along here, Ken, we should go over just briefly some of the National League MVP numbers. We didn't quite get an opportunity to do that with Cliff Floyd. We kind of ran up against it there in terms of time. But Tatis, as you mentioned during that segment, he is the favorite at plus 100. Trey Turner at 4.5 to 1. Max Muncy is at 5 to 1. You got Freddie Freeman 7 to 1. And then it's Jacob deGrom, who's still up there. He is the fifth favorite at plus 1750. And then Bryce Harper was a name that was mentioned at 30 to 1 right now. So those are some of the numbers we are looking at the moment.
Yeah, and I think what Cliff just said, we'll have Drew Dinsick whale capper on in just a second, but just to tie a bow on Cliff's point, I mean, he was throwing out names, and one of the reasons I think he was just throwing out like a lot of different names is that's how ridiculous this market is right now. It's rare to see, I think, let's say in the season, and it's only because of injuries. DeGrom should be a billion to one. You could argue Tatis, if we had a little better intel, might need to become a million to one. And so that has to go somewhere.
Right.
Like the probability has to go somewhere. I think what Cliff's almost arguing is, I don't know who it should go to. It should go to one of a million people, one of a lot of different players on a lot of the teams that can make the postseason. So I think it's a salient point. And from a betting standpoint, you can try to take advantage of that. No one knows who the NL MVP should be. The favorite is an artificial favorite, and the guy who was the favorite before that has 0% chance to win. So what happens now? I think that's an interesting betting angle.
It has been an interesting and exciting 24 hours, almost 24 hours in the NBA. And of course, NFL training camp is ongoing right now. We are joined by Drew Dinsick, who is with us now. You can find him on NBC Sports Bet. He is the handicapper there. You can follow him on Twitter at @whale_capper. Drew Dinsick joins us right now. Good afternoon, Drew. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well, man. It's been a beautiful, beautiful end to the summer here, and very much looking forward to kind of getting in prime football shape as we have training camp news coming in at a pretty aggressive clip right now, sharpening up my handicap to be ready for week one. And yeah, couldn't be happier. I love this time of year.
And Will, I know, I feel like we could talk about NBA for an hour with you as well, but we probably should save that until, you know, at least like let's get some summer league games, let's get some preseason, let's get some win totals out, and then we can kind of talk about all these moves with you, and looking forward to do that as we go through the football season. But some NFL stuff, and I know you want to get to AFC North, that you have some betting tickets that you're interested in talking about. AFC North's been a hot topic on the show. We had Rob Pizzola on, who talked about Mike Tomlin, first coach fired. Like, this has been the division that's produced like all kinds of crazy hot takes, so we can get into that stuff too. But I feel like I'm obligated to at least start, before we do your AFC North stuff, with the Colts, because I think it's the most pressing team-based topic that we have in the league right now, because Carson Wentz is now going to be out forever, because basically the best offensive guard in the league, Quentin Nelson, is now going to be out potentially in week one as well. So you have Indy hosting Seattle, numbers off the board, probably with Jacob Eason and without their best offensive lineman. You know, your thoughts on, is there a bet to make here now, or any betting angles that you see as valuable?
Well, there will be eventually, I think, a buy low spot for Indy, because I do think that the market in general, at least the reactions that I gauge from the people who are sort of setting the tone on this discussion, are, oh no, Indianapolis loses Carson Wentz. Like, that was like a big deal. And I personally thought Carson Wentz was going to be a bust in Indy. And in fact, I think when they signed him, that was sort of when I sort of said, okay, well, they're not going to win the AFC South. Let's find a long shot who's got a chance, and ended up with like a Jags 11-1 ticket there. So I'm a little, I was cool on the Carson Wentz experience. And when I heard the original news of him injuring his foot, potentially being out for the season, potentially, or they're saying 12 weeks, but the degree of seriousness of injury is real. And he wasn't really good. You know, he wasn't going to be a guy you could count on to be there from an injury standpoint anyway. Like, you know, when the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts in round two, I think that was a pretty clear sign to anyone who was following the league that, you know, they had committed a ton of money to Carson Wentz. And it wasn't like, oh, well, we give up on Wentz, because they hadn't seen him play poorly like he had last year, really, right? Like, that was a decision to take Hurts to sock away some really valuable draft capital and a backup quarterback, which to me was a red flag of, oh, Wentz is an injury, question mark, you know? And he had had back injuries to that point. He, of course, had the ACL that stopped him from, you know, taking the team to the Super Bowl where Nick Foles took him to the promised land. But, you know, at that time, I kind of red flagged Wentz in my head of, okay, well, even if he does perform well, he's always going to be an injury risk. The Eagles didn't think, you know, he was going to be able to make it through the season, so they draft Hurts. And then, you know, so even if Wentz does come back off this foot injury, I think there are still a number of other things you should be concerned about in terms of him playing to any kind of level that you would remember from his past years. But I will never get over his performances last year. He regressed to the point where I thought, you know, this guy's no longer a starting caliber NFL quarterback. You know, his ability to take points off of the board for you when you were in the red zone was just uncanny. You know, there were plays to be made even with, you know, because it's easy to say, well, they had all these injuries in the offensive line. They had all these injuries in the skill position players. True. But there were plays to be made on the field in a lot of those games that the Eagles desperately needed to win in order to win what was a very imminently winnable division in the NFC East last year. And Wentz took them out of all of those games. And, you know, that was kind of all I needed to see to sort of write him off in terms of this guy will ever kind of recapture that, you know, that magical half season that he had leading into the ACL injury. So, yeah, I was cold on the Colts, and actually hearing that he was potentially going to be done for the season, my ears perked up. It's like, oh, maybe they'll trade for someone. Huh. Maybe they'll trade for someone who's better than Wentz. Like, well, because they have skill and talent at like every level. Otherwise, other than the quarterback position, this all of a sudden, this might have backed them into a very, you know, a very convenient place. Their schedule is kind of easy. You know, their division is very winnable, you know, so like there's a lot of positives in the back of my head if the Colts pulled the trigger on another quarterback. And we haven't really heard a ton about that. You know, there's obviously whispers that, you know, San Francisco's shopping Jimmy Garoppolo pretty aggressively. You know, there are some other backups around the league. I mean, unfortunately, two of the best other backups that you could try to poach if you have a quarterback injury in training camp would be in your own division with Gardner Minshew and Tyrod Taylor. So it's kind of unfortunate for them. They're not going to be able to go after those guys. But a guy like Marcus Mariota makes a ton of sense for Indianapolis. So I'm kind of kicking in the back of my head. Okay, well, these guys, you know, they'll find a way to kind of, you know, improve their fortunes. The Quentin Nelson injury to follow up was brutal. You know, I don't love it when one of your blue chip players is a guard and one of your other blue chip players is a defensive tackle. Like, that's not a great way to build a franchise in today's NFL. But Quentin Nelson was such a tone setter for that offensive line and really a ton of what they wanted to do offensively. So, you know, at this point with a lower third quarterback you get via trade to replace Wentz and an offensive line that now has question marks and you know, just in general, a number of uncertain positional players, at the wide receiver and, you know, in your secondary, all of a sudden the Colts look like a team that could be, in deep trouble as we head into the season.
All right. So we heard a little bit about Matt Stafford with the thumb injury. He had the surgically repaired thumb and then he banged it up at practice. The Rams say he's going to be okay, but I mean, I guess you never know. Does it change anything for you week one? They're a 7.5-point favorite against Chicago.
Well, that was an underlook for me regardless. And so if Stafford's not 100%, I feel even better. but that's an awful lot of points to lay with a quarterback who's a little bit fragile. And, you know, I'd say, you know, Stafford gets sort of this reputation as being an Iron Man, Terminator, you know, I'll play through everything kind of a guy. But, like, he ends up having to play through things a lot. And so there's two sides of that coin, right? Like if you're going out there right on the regular playing through injuries, well, yeah, but you know, there's lots of guys who are out there, you know, they manage not to take the hits that give them injuries, you know? And I know this was pretty fluky. I mean, you're wearing the red jersey at training camp, for crying out loud. Like the idea that you have a fluky injury and hurt your thumb is, you know, shouldn't be a demerit against your ability to stay healthy. But there are a lot of other kind of, you know, somewhat concerning red flags in Stafford's in your injury history that has me a little bit cooler on the Rams overall. In general, I think Stafford, if healthy, is a massive upgrade over Goff for the McVay type of system. But this Rams team is built extremely stars and scrubby. You know, you qualify. There's a lot of attention paid to some teams that lost players through free agency, and no one really kind of gives critical look at who the Rams lost. The Rams lost some very meaningful depth in their defense. The two guys that went to Cleveland, Johnson and Hill, who, you know, they benefited from playing in a secondary with Jalen Ramsey, who's a true blue chipper, but those guys were good. And now you're going to have to take replacement level players and coach them up and be that effective, except that your defensive coordinator moved on and you have a new defensive system you're trying to integrate. So, you know, there's some red flags for me that the Rams are going to be as good of a defense this season as they are expected to be on paper, considering some of these lines and some of these totals as you look up and down their look aheads. So the Rams, I think, yes, they're still, they're still going to be able to make Andy Dalton miserable in primetime in week one. But beyond that and down their schedule, there's going to be a lot of opportunity, I think, to shoot for some overs with this team, assuming that Stafford can even play, you know, remain healthy.
Well, we have about a minute left. I teased AFC North, so it has to be 60 seconds, and I apologize. We're up against a break, but sell me your favorite AFC North bet here in 60 seconds.
It's going to be tough to sell you because I think you're cold on these guys.
But sounds like a Browns over incoming. That's what it sounds like. Yeah.
Give me the Browns. Give me the Browns everything. Look at their schedule and tell me if they can't pull off the impossible, which I think is very possible in week one, and beat the Kansas City Chiefs, that this team isn't going to head into, say, week 12 at Baltimore and be 10-1 or 9-2. You know, this Browns team is absolutely stacked. They're loaded with depth. They're resilient, anti-fragile. I heard my friend Eric say on his podcast the other day, this is a team that is resilient and loaded with depth and primed for a huge step forward defensively. I'm struggling to hear the red team case for why this Cleveland Browns team isn't going to be in the mix for the number one overall seed. So give me Browns to win the AFC at 8-1 or better.
Drew wow. Dinsick, appreciate your time. You can follow him at @whale_capper for NBC Sports Edge Betting. He is a handicapper there. And when we come back, Ken Barkley broke down the SEC yesterday, going to do the same thing for the Big 12 today. The season is upcoming on You Better You Bet on BetQL.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. For the latest line movement and edges to beat the spread, download the BetQL app today.